Well, good morning again, everyone, and thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Joe.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28. I want to talk about our authority in Christ. I think everyone knows we have some, but I think sometimes we fail to realize how much we have. And one of the greatest weapons of the adversary is to try to talk us out of the authority that we have. Matthew 28, and in verse 18 it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power," and that word power is exousia, which is authority, "all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All is a pretty inclusive word. And after Jesus was raised from the dead, of course he had lots of authority before that, which we're going to read about. But over here it says he had all authority. And I want to go now back to Matthew chapter 7. But he had all authority in heaven and in earth. Well, that covers pretty much everything, I think, right? So, there's a lot of power and authority in Jesus Christ. Chapter 7, Matthew, and I'm going to start in verse 28. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority," exousia, "and not as the scribes." Well, thank God for that, not as the scribes. "But he taught them as one having authority," and the people recognized that. His doctrine, he knew God's word, and he had authority when he taught. He knew who he was, he knew God, and he knew God's word. And let's go now to the next chapter over here, and starting in verse 5, chapter 8 of Matthew. This is not necessarily a complicated teaching of God's word. It doesn't need to be. It just needs to be understood. And rebuke the adversary from blocking anything out of anyone's minds in the name of Jesus Christ, because we need to understand who we are and what we have and what we can do with what we have. I'm sick and tired, like everyone else, of people being beaten and killed and hurt when here we are sitting in the heavenlies, seated in the heavenlies, and we need to be able to exercise that authority that we have to fight back. Chapter 8, verse 5, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." The willingness of Jesus Christ to heal people and to go where people are. It's not, you see so many times these days, in some circles, the egotism of the leader, like, pamper me, I'm a leader, and God, don't ask me to serve, crying out loud. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and here the centurion's standing there. There are probably multitudes of people that want to be healed, need to be healed, and Jesus said, I'll come and heal them. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. But look at this. But speak the word only. What word? Whatever word it's going to take to heal this guy. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be what?
Healed.
Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, here's our lesson in authority. We've got to get this. We've got to drum it into our minds so that we get it. We're being taught in this next group of verses here about authority and what it is and how it works. For I am a man under authority. I have authority, having soldiers under me. He's got authority over a band of soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he what? He goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth this. That's authority. You make a statement, you make a command, you issue a command, and what happens? Something happens. Someone does something, or something happens. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. He marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and that's the first part of the commandment that Jesus gives, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Jesus gave the word. The centurion already said, you know, all you got to do is say it, and that's all that it's going to take. And his servant was what? Healed in the self-same hour. That means right now. Boom. He said it. It happened. There's no dilly-dally. But we've got to understand the concept of authority and how it works. When you have authority over someone or something, you can give a command and it is obeyed. That's what that says to me. Go to chapter 9, please, of Matthew. We're in Matthew for a little while here. I'm going to read this power, authority again, exousia. When you read power many times, you've got to know which word it is. There are several words for power. We know that, I think, a lot of us. There's exousia, which is exercise power or authority. There's dunamis, which is inherent power. But we're looking particularly right now at this authority. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, you know, they had enough faith that Jesus Christ could heal this man, that they brought him. Said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Oh, this is going to really win some points here, folks. Thy sins be what? Forgiven thee. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Ooh, boy, these guys here. Oh, blasphemy. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, they didn't say it out loud, they're chicken, you know what, but they wouldn't say it out loud. They didn't have to. They said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, you couldn't hide it, because God told him, these guys are evil affected in their minds. He said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? What do you think evil for, knucklehead? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. He could say either one. But, that you may know that the Son of Man hath what? authority. That's the word authority again. On earth, to forgive sins. He had authority on earth to forgive sins. Then said he, to the sick of the palsy, here we go, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he just stood there, right?
No.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified who? Jesus Christ?
Yes.
They glorified God, which had given such power unto men. These people were smart. They knew God had given power to Jesus, his only begotten Son. He gave him power, authority. He gave him authority. That's the same word, by the way, authority, in verse 8. God had given this authority to a man where he could say something like this, and he had the authority to make the statement, and God would back up what he said with God's power and deliverance. He had that authority because God gave it to him. Now in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ is going to give some authority to his disciples because he had the authority to give them authority. Obviously, you can't give it if you don't have the authority to give it, can you? Unless I have my bank account and I decide to write you a check, would that check be of any value? No. But he had the authority. God gave it to him. God gave him authority. Verse 1 of chapter 10, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, I wonder if we have any less authority than they did. Well, I think we all know the answer, but we've got to get it. So we're going to read, and we're going to read more and more if we have to. And I think we ought to read and study and pray for God to enlighten us to understand, not just, you know, mentally working the words, which is fine to do, but to understand and have the word alive, 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 to where we know by experience that we've got this authority and we start using it more and more, because we need to use it more than we're using it. We just need to. Too many people are getting hurt, too many people are dying, and that's not condemnation. It's we got to kick the devil behind. God's got to do it, but we are here to delegate. We're delegated to release power by our words. That's one of the things we're here to do. We are here to release power by our words. We've been given that authority. In verse 5 it says, these 12, he had just named them, and you know, I, brevity of time, don't want to read the names of them. You can do that anytime you want. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who they were sent to. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's what the word is. Freely you have received, freely what?
Give.
Freely you have received, freely give. That's wonderful. I don't think any of us has a problem wanting to give that kind of stuff. Amen? I mean, it's great to be able to give that kind of thing. And the authority to do that is incredible. He gave the 12 apostles authority to do those things, and they went and did it. Now, let's look in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. If here we have another group that are going to go out and do some of the same things. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two. They were in twos. Sent them out in pairs. Before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So he sent them out, and he gave them authority. He didn't just send them out to go to lunch. He gave them authority. Now, let's move on down to verse 17, if you will. Verse 17, it says, and the 70 returned. They had gone out and done their work, and they returned again with what?
Joy.
Joy. Yeah, joy. Boy, it's joyful when you're doing this kind of stuff. It's wonderful. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Through what? Thy name. Through thy name. Through the name of Jesus Christ. The devils were subject unto them. And, you know, Jesus Christ hasn't completed everything yet, but the devils were subject. He was the Son of God. Even if he hadn't completed everything regarding our salvation yet, those were God's people. And Jesus Christ gave them authority. And the devils, the evil spirits, the demons were subject unto them. Now turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We've got to get into Ephesians. We're going to get into Ephesians and Acts and a little bit more in the Gospels. I think it would be a very unfortunate thing if we ignore the Gospels and the book of Acts just because of the epistles. I also think it's unfortunate if you ignore the epistles because you're in the Gospels. I think you need them both. How are you going to learn about your Lord Jesus Christ in terms of his life here on earth if you don't read the Gospels? There's a lot that we need to see and learn, and there's a lot we need to know in Ephesians about the completed work of Jesus Christ and in any of the other epistles. And the book of Acts to see how the first century church worked. And sometimes how it didn't work, unfortunately. But Ephesians chapter 1, and we will start in verse 16. This is a section that I particularly love. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is Paul's prayer that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and revelation in the knowledge of him. Revelation knowledge, spiritual wisdom, revelation knowledge. That's not stuff that we just get from the right understanding of what's written here. It goes way beyond that. Because you can understand every Greek word, every Hebrew word. You could look at every translation, and you could, in an academic sense, understand what's written and not have any idea what's really behind what's written. But the whole idea here is that God enlighten our understanding. And the next verse talks about, it says exactly that. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Who's going to enlighten them? God's going to enlighten them. By the Spirit in you. God's going to enlighten them by revelation, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, look at those two things already, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Well, we believe, we're Christians, we believe in Jesus Christ, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power. There's that word power, authority. His authority goes way beyond the authority of the devil's principalities and way beyond all might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet. Remember when you read back in Genesis 3:15, we'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise his head, it shall bruise your hair. All things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Wow. Authority. We have to, Paul's prayer is that our understanding be illuminated, lit up concerning our position of authority, where we are seated, our seating with Jesus Christ. Verse 21 of that, I'm going to read it again from the NIV. And no, I don't have the NIV here. I've got the NIV in Braille, one verse that I wrote. Far above all rule and authority, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, that power is dunamis, the second, you know, that word, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That pretty well covers things. We are in the body of Christ, and we have our seating, where we are, our position is with him, far above. All authority. Well, all rule and authority, power and dominion. That's where we are, seated with Christ. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read starting in verse 4. Whereby, when you read... Nope, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm in chapter 3. That's not a bad chapter either, but that's not where I wanted to go. Chapter 2, verse 4. And we're talking about the mystery of the other chapter. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive, us together with Christ. He made us alive. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, and that includes this age, by the way, we don't have to wait for all of it. Some of it will be in the ages to come. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That is unspeakable. Part of our daily prayer should be to be shown in greater measure the meaning of our seating, of where we are, of the authority that we have, and of the ability that we have through Christ, the authority to... literally, to call things into being. I mean, there's many times, Lee and I were talking about this the other day. How many times it's like, well, gee, do we have revelation to heal this person or that person? It's funny, Jesus Christ, how many people did he heal? I'm not saying he didn't get revelation, but there are times I'll bet he just, okay, yeah, we can do this. Put. And he healed people. He had authority. We've got that authority now. 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 2. This section here is almost unbelievable. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of what? Man's wisdom. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Spiritual power. Demonstrating spiritual power that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith, you're not going to have a whole lot of faith if it's just in good words. You know, that lasts for a little while and the feeling wears off and it's like, phew, you know, well, great. You know, that's another politician. But the wisdom of men, no. Rather, the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom, we do speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing, naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In a mystery, regarding the mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. And this just absolutely amazes me. For had they known the mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Can you imagine the devil? His whole lease on life, his whole goal in life is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he gets off on. He's so perverted. That's what he gets off on. He and all his kingdom. And I can hardly fathom that he would not have crucified Jesus Christ had he known what would happen. But it's true. We have to take hold of what we have in this life and use it. We've got a lot coming in eternity. We know that. And I'm not by any means diminishing that. But we've got a lot now, and we need a lot now. Amen? We definitely need a lot now. I mean, there's just too much going on. I rebuke the adversary in the name of Jesus Christ. Get off of God's people. We're not going to stand back and just let him do it. We're going to fight. And not by ourselves. We're going to fight under the authority and in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of God. That's where we fight. Because God, through Jesus Christ, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and we can stand up and give the adversary fits instead of having him come around and roaring like a lion and then freezing. He makes us sick and we want to just, oh my God, go to hell, you know, whatever it is. I don't know where I can tell him to go, but I can tell him to get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. That much I know I can tell him. Let God put him wherever he wants to put him. I know eventually he'll end up in the lake, and it's not going to be Dale's Hollow Lake or whatever. That's going to be the lake of fire, where it never ceases. But in the meantime, he doesn't have to hang around us. We don't have to put up with it. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, please. We're going to go to verse... I get excited, I get aggravated, because I'm tired of... I'm not yelling at us. I'm trying to fire us all up. We've got to get angry at the enemy and know that we don't have to be wrapped up in the world's malaise. We've got to be, you know, the funk that the world puts you in. Oh, my goodness, there is. People do die. Yes, they do. They don't have to die today. You know, we can live long lives. And when they do, then thank God that there's going to be a resurrection. But doggone it, I'm not going to just sit back and let everybody get knocked off by the adversary. I'm going to do my best to claim my authority and people can be receiving deliverance. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple. Very familiar, but at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, that's about 3 p.m., and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. His mother, you know, he never walked. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So he was just, you know, asking for money. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. You know, he's just asking them for money. And he's going to get something, but it's not going to be money. It's going to be a lot more valuable. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Hey, yoke." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. You know, he's probably ready to say, "Yeah, go ahead, drop it in there, thanks." Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." I don't have any money on me right now. I don't have any change. "But such as I have," Peter knew what he had. He had authority. "Give I thee." He had authority. So what did he do? He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. This is just wonderful. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You know, that kind of gives me a picture. They were probably limp. And all of a sudden, you know, they came to life. They came to life. And he leaping up. Here's a guy who never walked, and he leaped. And walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He was another smart one. He knew it was God. It wasn't just Peter. Now, he's going to be very thankful to Peter and John, going to hold on to him and stuff. Wouldn't you? Of course. But he knew it was God. We have what Peter had, right?
Right.
Yep. We've got it. We've got it. Praise God. We've got it. Amen, glory, hallelujah. We've got it. I love it. Let's move down to verse 11. And it says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering," like, wow, whoo. Boy, man, how many times did we come to hear a sermon here at the synagogue and seen anything like this? "And when Peter saw, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" What are you marveling at this for? Well, because it was pretty marvelous. "Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" See, there you go. He's going to witness now, and he's going to give the glory to God. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren," I wrote that through ignorance you did it, "as did also your rulers." So there it is. It's by the name and the power of Jesus Christ we are members of his body. We are seated in the heavenlies. Gerald's been teaching about that, how we're seated in the heavenlies. And yeah, we've got a lot coming in the next administration and for eternity. But we've got a lot now, too. Right now. Don't let the devil talk you out of what we've got right now. His ministry is to steal, kill, and what?
Destroy.
Right. I don't want to sit back and let him do it. And I'm not going to sit back and let him do it. By God's grace, we're going to walk forth and we're going to start claiming more and more, understanding. Let God show us experience in our hearts where we are, what we've got. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. A couple of verses that we've read. I know you've read them with me, you've read them with lots of people. Chapter 14, verse 12. Big surprise, right? Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the works that I do, shall you what? Do also. Do also, and greater. Greater works than these shall you do. And the word greater there is more. It simply means more works. You know why? And because I go unto my Father. Well, if I'm not here, folks, I can't do the works now, but you can. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Did that end after, because it was to the apostles, did that end? I don't think so. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus Christ said, if you ask it in my name, I'll do it. I'll do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. He'll do anything to glorify God, not to glorify himself. Just like we don't do things to glorify ourselves, we do it to glorify God and to bless God's people. Amen. God wants to heal. God wants us to exercise our spiritual authority. He wants us to utilize that which we have been given in Christ. Our seating, our position, far above all principality, that prince of the power of the air, the numbnuts that he is. Chapter 4 of Acts, please. Yeah, I didn't tell you what book, but I'll get around to it. Acts chapter 4. We're going back to Acts for a little while. And another section, one of my favorite sections. Verse 23. And this is one of my favorite sections because it shows us a lot about prayer. I could probably give an entire teaching just on this section and bring some other verses in with it. But it says, in being let go, you know, they're being interrogated now by the loving Pharisees, some of them probably Satan's boys. They're so wonderful. They're so happy that this guy was healed that they're threatening the apostles for doing it. Stupid jerks. And being let go, they went back to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. These are the elders of the church. Good Jews. Good for nothing. Good for the devil. That's all they were good for. That's who they were good for. That's who they were working for. And maybe some of them changed their hearts, you know, if they weren't born again of the wrong seed. But right now, they were good for nothing but working for the devil. And when they, the people, had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And like, oh my God, I'm scared. No. They were probably concerned. They were probably angry. They said, Lord, thou art God. Here we go, we're going to praise you a little bit. You're God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Were the heathen raging and imagining vain things here? I think so. the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. You're against Christ, you're against God. That's what it says right there. Don't tell me you can have God and not have Christ. You can't do it. I'm sorry, you can't do it. You don't like it? Rewrite the Bible. Doggone it. It aggravates me. People can't read. This says it right there. We all know it, but gee whiz, it amazes me. People can't read that. Gathered against the Lord and against Christ. You're against one, you're against them both. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, everybody, man, they were all in one big happy family of the devil. They were gathered together for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, they're going to ask some things here. Behold their threatenings. They're not going to just thank him, by the way, and there's nothing wrong with thanking God for stuff, but they're asking him. They're going to do all of these things. Praise, supplication, prayer, giving of thanks. Behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants. We're your servants, Father. Grant unto us that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And they're even going to tell him what would give them boldness. And would it give us boldness? Yes. By stretching forth thy hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. There we go. It's that name of Jesus Christ. The authority that's in that name. God, give us signs, give us miracles, give us wonders, healings, deliverances. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Can you imagine that? I could just see it. You're sitting in this room, and we pray, and all of a sudden, the whole room shakes because of the power of God. It says it was shaken. Wasn't just because they were stomping their feet, folks. It was plain. It was shaking. That's amazing. We got to read this stuff and really see what it says. Imagine it. Bring it to life. Together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Praise the Lord. They spoke the word with boldness. Because of what they prayed, and God heard that prayer, and he answered it. You know, that section has a lot of attributes of prayer, and you can read a lot of other scriptures to build on that. But, you know, our overall topic here is with our authority in Christ. And we saw that they said, you know, we want to use the name of Jesus Christ, Father, and let there be healings and signs and wonders. Stretch forth your hand to heal by the name of your holy child Jesus. I'm sure God would not have any problem honoring something like that. Now let's go to chapter 14 of Acts. We're staying in Acts for a minute. Another little section. Chapter 14. And here we have Paul. Doing his thing. Acts chapter 14, and we're in verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. His feet were, they didn't work his legs. Being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same, this man, heard Paul speak. Paul's preaching, teaching about Jesus Christ. Who, Paul, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Got revelation. Said with a loud voice, I could just see it. Paul's just sitting there preaching. And all of a sudden, hey, that guy over there, he's ready. Paul's sitting there and he's talking about Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden he says, hey, ye, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. I'll bet you that little service came to life pretty quick. But Paul simply commanded it. He simply commanded it. I mean, you know, maybe he said some other things, I don't know, but the Bible doesn't say that. So we don't really need to know that he said a bunch of other things. He commanded it by the authority of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read a section here to tie things up. Colossians chapter 2. We have authority, great authority, in the name of Jesus Christ. We're seated far above principalities, might, dominion. We're seated there with Christ. We're in his body. And we need to pray and ask God for the understanding that we need and constantly be reminded of who we are, where we're seated, so that the devil cannot talk us out of it. Remember, he'll do anything to keep us from really realizing what we have in the mystery, in the seating where we are seated. He would not have crucified Jesus Christ had he known the kind of trouble he could be getting himself into now. He's done for anyway. But he's going to make the most of it to try to keep us miserable on the way to eternity. Because he knows what's in store for him, and he doesn't want us to be able to go around. Can you imagine millions of Christians doing to him all the time what Christ did to him during his ministry? Is it not possible for us to do that? Sure it is. We do it to some degree, but we can do it in far greater degree, and that's what I want to see. I really want to see it. I know we all do. So the whole purpose of preaching and teaching this is just to build it in our minds and to let God work with us and enlighten our understanding so that we really see it. Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's the head, and we're in his body, in whom also you are, circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Praise God. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He nailed it to his cross, the law. And having spoiled, yeah, he did, principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. That's right. He made an open show of them, a mockery of them, triumphing over them in it. He won for the world to see. He beat them. And they would have never crucified him had they known what he was going to do to them and what we could do to them. See, as God's children and members of the body of Christ, we're also partakers of this victory. Had Satan known these things, He would not have murdered Jesus. Let us praise God for his goodness to us and pray for our understanding to be enlarged that we can experience the reality of our seating now. We do not have to wait for eternity to begin receiving God's blessings, but we'll have all eternity to live in God's manifold blessings which he has prepared for us, for those who love him. Amen. Now, if anybody wants to pray or be prayed for, ministered to, I always want to remember that we make that available, whether it be by me or by anyone else. That's what we're here for. I know we've prayed for one another today, but if anybody wants specifically, then let's make it available. And I'm going to say, God, thank you for your grace and the privilege to share your word, for your love, and God, may you enlighten our understanding and grant us signs, miracles, and wonders be done in this day and time mightily that we can stand against the methods of the devil by exercising our spiritual authority in Christ, our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.